Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host. Hello, my beautiful sisters. This is my Pastor Teresa, your host for today, and we have some exciting information that we'd like to share with you. And you're on Share Talk, learning that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. We have our special, our wonderful, great sister, our co-host, Evangelina Houston. She's with us today. And we got, like I said, we got some exciting things that we want to share with you. Now, this topic that we have on today is going to be very interesting because I have received questions and inboxes, phone calls pertaining to this topic, and that's where this topic came from, because the type of questions that was asked of me for me and Evangelist Houston. So we're going to go ahead and start with a prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and go into our segment. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your anointing destroys the yoke. We ask you right now, God, as we gather, as we listen, as we share with your women, as your servants, we ask you right now, come in the midst, God, and have your divine way, God. Touch my lips. Touch Evangelist Houston's lips, God, that we share your word, God. Share your wisdom, God, to these women that really, really seek your face and really want to do the things that you're calling to do in the spirit of excellence, God. Now we have your divine, ask you for divine way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Evangelist Houston, are you there, sweetie?
Yes, I am, Pastor Teresa. It is so good to be here with you. And I just hope that you are feeling well, and I'm just excited to be here. Amen.
Amen. And you always do an excellent job, and I've been under the weather and still kind of not my 90%, 10% or 100% yet. Wasn't feeling well
yes.
today, but we're going to go through and we're going to press through in Jesus' name. Amen. But, no, Evangelist Houston, I really want to do something a little bit different today. I really want mm-hmm. you to share with the audience about your personal ministry. We haven't talked about that yet. You do have a personal ministry. I know you go to a local church here in Jacksonville, but you have a personal mm-hmm. ministry that you have, and then you have a prayer line that you do mm-hmm. every day? I really don't know a lot about it. Get the audience mm-hmm. and myself about your ministry.
But the ministry that the Lord has put me as an overseer is called Women of Restoration. And that ministry was birthed through my trials and tribulations from growing up, from a childhood up until now, you know, still travailing through some things. But the Lord definitely put it in my spirit and in my heart in 2007. And when he gave it to me, he gave it to me as WOR, W-O-R. And I'll start searching out and say, look, God, what do you mean? He said, my daughters are in a war. And I start saying, okay, well, what do you want me to do? He said, who better than you can reach and go to the trenches and tell them about what I have done for you? And so
wow.
he took me back over my childhood life and teenage life. And again, I'll tell you, I was a high school dropout. I was a runaway from home. I was raised in foster homes. I was ostracized by my family. So I was pretty much rejected all around, and I was looking for love from different men and different relationships
wow.
I was in, because I wasn't getting it from the inside at the home. And I'm the youngest of five girls, no boys. And I tell you,
wow.
at the age of 12, I was pretty much out on the street, Pastor Teresa. And for
wow.
me to be standing and alive today at the age of 48, I know it was nothing but the grace of God. So he started
Amen.
Speaking to me about that ministry. So I got busy with in the community. I go out to the Hover House and minister to the battered women, and to City Rescue Mission, you know, uplift the women. And, you know, people don't want to hear a lot from you sometimes till they hear your testimony about what you've been through.
Right.
Because sometimes they can look at us and think that we haven't been through anything. And so I sit down with them, you know, no makeup, nothing. Let me come in my jeans and T-shirts with you, and let me get the heartbeat of you, and you get the heartbeat of me. And even in the prisons, he took me in the prisons for 10 years to minister to the women and to the men there.
Wow.
With all that still going on in my life, I'm still touching lives and making a difference, and I'm so excited about what God has did in some of the women's life over at Sisters not Sisters United for the Journey, but it was Sisters with Dr. Ann Williams. I did mentorship classes over there with some of her girls that were transitioning out of prison into housing and helping them get back on the, just sowing and pouring into the women and just behind the scenes allowing the Lord to use me and continually doing that right now today and donating clothes and whatever else we may have to give. And as far as my prayer line go, it is called Women of Restoration Morning Intercessory Prayer. It is Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 5:30 a.m. to 6 a.m. So you are welcome to join, and that number is 559-726-1300, 556-789-POUND is the access code. Again, that is 559-726-1300, 556-789-POUND is the access code. So I'm just on board with what the Lord told me to do with that prayer line over a year ago. And sometimes it's just me on there, but God says, stay right there.
Amen.
Stay right there.
Amen.
You know, just be obedient because he already knows who he's going to send. And so it's an intercessory prayer. We're just praying for our government, our nation, our spiritual leaders, our natural leaders, our children. You know, just if you have a prayer request, you want to inbox me, you're welcome to do that. You need prayer yourself. God has been moving and healing people from cancer, from tumors, all types of testimonies have come forth. I have recordings where you could go back and play back and listen to it. So we just give God the glory, Pastor Teresa, for what
Amen.
He is doing in our lives.
I am so excited about that. I'm glad that, you know, you was able to share about that, and we're going to hear from that a little bit more, and I would like for you to, you know, actually give that information out later, because I do know some ladies going to probably jumping in and just getting off work and getting ready to tune in, because we do have a slew of ladies now tuning in now, and we are talking to Evangeline Houston, and she just was sharing her about her personal ministry, that she have a prayer line, and then she have a personal women's ministry that she goes out and ministers to the needy, and also minister to women that are broken. How many of you know that we are broken? And even though that we experience a lot of things as we came up, as growing up, even in the body of Christ, that it's our job as we get healed and as we get delivered and set free to go free somebody else. What Peter told God, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil desired to shift you like wheat. He said, but I'm going to pray for you. And when you get strengthened, you go get your brothers. So I truly believe that God is strengthening us, so therefore we can go back and reach somebody else. Well, today we have an interesting topic, and I truly want to, I really want to go ahead and go into that. And we do have some questions that has been sent to me today, amen. But today we have some discussion questions that we're going to get to. But we first want to just go ahead and start and do some dialoguing about, my boyfriend isn't a Christian. Is it okay or not okay? My boyfriend isn't a Christian. Is it okay or not okay? So, in other words, someone sent this question to me a couple weeks ago and asked, she said, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I believe in the power of God. I really love Jesus. I'm living holy, but my boyfriend is not saved. And I hear a lot, and she said, I hear a lot of people talk about, and I read it in the Word for myself where it said, don't be unequally yoked. He said, but my problem is, It doesn't talk about marriage. It doesn't really specifically say marriage. It doesn't really specifically say dating. And then one of her questions was, but what happens when there's not enough saved men in the church, and then I get more unsaved men attracted to me versus a saved man, and then most of the saved men are in the church are already married, or they don't meet my description that I'm looking for. So I said, oh, that's an interesting topic, a topic that a lot of churches do not want to address because it's one of those topics that, you know, is a borderline topic, and it's a challenging topic, and I know that. Well, I'm up for the challenge, and I truly believe that with Evangelist Houston with me and along with the wisdom of God and the word of God, I truly believe that we can guide you ladies because we know, let's be real, yes, I am married. Let's go ahead and put that out there. Yes, I'm married, but I haven't always been married. I was once single, too. And so I do understand the struggle, and I do understand the challenges that singles make go through because I went through it, too. I had my turn. It's just your turn today. So I said that to say this, that every woman, majority of the women, want to be in a relationship. You want to, and there's nothing wrong with that because God has made us what? Social. He made us. He don't want us to be on the island by ourselves. And majority of the time, and let's be real about it, we already have sex. A lot of us already have children before marriage. And, you know, so we know what that companionship feels like. We know how it feels to share that space with someone else. So, yes, you should desire. I will not tell you I am a woman. I will not tell you you should not desire the relationship of a man. You should. I hope that's what you want, the relationship with a man. But the question is today, I have to say that because we got some stuff going on. But the question is, my boyfriend isn't a Christian. Is it okay or not? So, Evangelist Houston, come on, guide us in this discussion about my boyfriend isn't a Christian. And, you know, before we get in our discussion questions, we're probably going to be getting them. I can't see how we're not going to be getting to that. But I really want to stay away from our discussion questions a little bit and just dialogue about this subject before we get into our discussion. What is the Lord giving to you? Because you are single. You're currently single now. And so if your sister was, I'm pretty sure you had sisters come to you and ask this very question. What do you say?
Oh, wow. You know, first of all, I would have to ask them, what is it that you want out of this relationship? Because to me, for me, I'm going to talk about me now. And I know the single women, too, some of them can concur with me. You should not be dating just to be dating. You should be dating with a purpose. Because most single women say, I want to be married. I want to be married. Okay. But do you think that by him being unsaved, that that's going to bring a wholesome marriage? Is that going to be totally fulfilling? Is that what you're really looking for? You know, you have to ask a conglomerate of questions here. What is it that you see in him? What is it that he fulfills for you? Are you just compromising because a Christian brother haven't came along? You know, just settling over here because most single women do, like you said, Pastor Teresa, they desire the relationship of a man. But don't just be with any man. Don't get to a point where you get too desperate and too lonely and too hungry. That's what our bishop tell us, okay? You can't get to that point because that's a gateway for the enemy. And then here's another thing. What is it that you have in common with him, though? You know, so you have to ask these women, what are they looking for? What are you looking for as long-term? Are you wanting something short-term for the time being? Long-term? What are you looking for? Because, you know, we don't have time to waste because God has given all of us an assignment. And and I think, women, this is what you need to do because I think some of them, I'm hearing this in the spirit. Some of them are not telling these men that they are in Christ. Because, see, with me, when they approach me, I come back with them, where you fellowship. That gets them to go right there. Because if you're not loving on Christ, you're not going to hold a conversation with me too long. See,
right.
But the women, we got to get to the point where we're not, you know, teasing and flirting and compromising and selling and leading him on with different things just to see. Because he say, oh, I go to church, okay. Let the word say, try the spirit by the spirit. Let's see if the spirit of God. Let's see if he helped download. Yes.
Stop right there, evangelist. Okay, so let's walk this thing out. So you have a single woman that is a Christian,
right,
like yourself. You're in the grocery mall or wherever you may be, and someone comes up and approach you and say, hey, you're very attractive or whatever, however they do. You know, I know nothing really truly changed since I've been married, but they come up to you, and then the first thing you say, they're talking, you're dialoguing with the person. Is that the first thing? Is one of the first questions that you ask? Okay, where you fellowship at? Is that what you're saying?
No. It may not be one of the first. It depends on the first might be, well, how you doing today? Something like that, or he's trying to hold a conversation about something in the store, what's going on with the news. But the minute that he diverts to try and to flirt with you or come on to you or whatever, you know when he does that, lady. That's
definitely.
You need to rise up and put your stance and say, well, I'm such and such. Where do you fellowship at? You know, what do I like to do? Especially if he's asking you about a party or something or giving you a flyer. You know, sometimes we need to push back on some things instead of compromising. Let the conversation go now to see. Because you can learn a lot from a person from one conversation. It don't take two and three dates, ladies.
Absolutely.
It don't take all of that. So
let
it go to the platonicness. I'm not saying don't be so whole and say Jesus, Jesus all the time. Talk to people. Let's see where it goes. Can I take you out?
Yeah, so with that being said, okay, so now I'm in the relationship. I discover I'm a single woman. We still talk about the single Christian woman. I'm a single woman.
Right.
I met you at the store. I like what I see. I like what I'm hearing. Because you say, you know, yeah, I do go to X, Y, and church. I may don't go every Sunday, but I do go. I haven't been converted as a Christian yet, but I do go. I do believe in God. I do love God. I do know of Jesus. My grandma prayed for me. I do know what Jesus is all about. I just haven't. I just don't want to play with God. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I have not made that decision to get saved yet. But I do go to church every now and then. But outside of that, I'm a good guy. I take care of my kids. I do have two children. I take care of my children.
Mm-hmm.
I have a good. I got good credit. I believe in respecting the woman. I respect my mom. I respect my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it very obviously looks like it appears that this is a good guy, but yet I'm not saved. So I start dating this man, and then we're dating, and I'm finding this man to be not only he's attractive, not only he's successful, not only that he does take care of his children, not only he seems like he cares about me, but I realize he's not saved, but he is a good guy, and he is a potential husband, but he just not saved. What do I do? I mean, really, you know, really, I can't date you or I can't get married to you because you're not saved. Why is that a bad thing? Why do everybody make a big deal about he's not saved, but he is a good guy? I know some saved guys, and they not as good as this guy, and he is saved. He's not saved. So what's up with that?
And then you know what I think it is? Everything that you just named is what a woman desires with her fleshly eye.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you just named about him. But where are you at, woman of God, in the body of Christ, too?
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself,
That's a good question.
Because if I'm an evangelist, and yes, all the accolades that you just said about him, Pastor Teresa, that's good and fine. But there's somewhere that's dangerous territory because he's this and he's that and he showed me this and he showed me that. I haven't seen an ugly muscle yet, but you need to see an ugly muscle. okay? Because it's hidden. And see, what are you all communing about? You see what I'm saying? Because
absolutely,
the whatever is in you is going to come out of you. If you put the word of God in you, when you, I don't care who you get around, the Holy Ghost going to stand up in you in some, I don't care if it's at the coffee pot.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If somebody go to complaining and murmur, you're going to tell them, it's not that bad. You know, you could be that or this and that, and things could be this. Don't complain. Just give God praise. What are you really communing? What's your conversation with him? You know, because everything that you named on the outside is feeding the flesh, but what's feeding the spirit man?
Absolutely.
What's feeding the soul? Because, see, the spirit man will die.
Yeah.
If we don't feed the spirit. We feed the flesh so much, and we want to gravitate everything, you know, look good, smell good, got a good job, nice personality. Here's another thing. Here's a twist of women. Have you tried to witness to him? Have you tried to convert? And I ain't going to say you, but have you just tried to tell him about the goodness of Jesus, the benefit of coming into God?
And you know the thing about
it
is
you tried to use that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what a lot of times, I mean, because I remember when I wasn't married, and but I was a little bit different because I made a lot of mistakes. And I need you to hear me, ladies out there, because I made a lot of mistakes. And I was married before, and it ended up a bad marriage. It ended up bad, and I made a lot of mistakes with my children, witnessing some things and all that good stuff there. And I was hurt, and I hurt a lot of people as myself, because I don't want to play like I was always the victim, because I wasn't. I did some stuff too. However, when I did get to the place where I said, Lord, I want to make you the center of my focus, I realized that I can't do nothing without you. When I got saved and I got delivered, I really, be honest with you, I did not want a relationship at the time. I really was going to seek God, and I wasn't this person like, oh, dost thou and thou and all that kind of stuff. Like, it wasn't like that. And I'm an attractive woman, and I was a little bit smaller back then, but I'm a very attractive woman, so I was getting some bees in the honey. Now, don't get it twisted, okay?
That's right.
But I had men come on to me and all that good stuff there, and all types of men, married men, even though that was my thing back in the day before I got saved. However, I was a little bit different than some of the women is today. I'm not saying I did not want a relationship down in the future, but at that time, in that season of my life, that was not my focus. So I was not, you know, burning in the sense of, oh, I want a relationship, but where's the Christian men? I was not thinking about that. I really got to the place I really wanted to be healed, because when that time comes, I wanted to really be in a better place mentally, spiritually, and I wanted my children to be in a place as well. So I wasn't seeking a relationship. I wasn't craving. I'd been in so many relationships at the time prior to until, even though the sex part, now that was a different situation now, because, you know, I ain't had to be in a relationship to get that. Hello, somebody. Come on, somebody. I hear you.
Hello. Talk to me. Talk to me.
So it wasn't just the sex part, but I did not want to share that space with anyone at the time, because I knew I was really broken, and I knew I need a lot of healing. And I truly believe, ladies, I need you to check me. I need you to check me. Some of us, where we think we're healed, we're not. Where we think we've been broken, we're not. Where we think we are there, where we're ready for a relationship, we're not. You can't stand it. You know, a man asks you a question, so... Okay, that's a whole nother show about that. But my point is,
that's a whole nother.
When I was going through my singleness at the time, I wasn't really focused on a relationship. And then when those times did come where, you know, my body was, my homegirl was talking to me, Mary was talking to me, I talked back to Mary. Mm-hmm. Mary, we ain't doing that today. We just not doing that today. Mary, you got me in trouble so many times. So, Mary, you are not going to be in control. So let's move the sex part out the way. We're going to move that part out the way, because that's something, a whole other different show. But you're looking for companionship. You want to share that space. You want to share your bills. You want to share your time, your love, and all this kind of stuff. And just like the woman God said, I love that, what she said. What do you want out of this relationship? We already kind of know what you want in this relationship. You want what you see what other people may have. Well, you see the giggling. Oh, I have some.
They
I have some.
May have.
Baby, It's mm-hmm. that work. That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about that, which I love my husband. He's my best friend. Mm-hmm. I can't believe God blessed me with such a great packet. However, mm-hmm. it still is work. Mm-hmm. You know, you still, you know, because I'm a very independent person. I'm even today, I'm still independent. So sometimes yield that to my husband is still kind of hard for me sometimes because even though I have not been feeling well, so he's been telling me what to do. I'm like, really? He literally been telling me what to do. Like today, he wouldn't let me do nothing. I know, but I'm an independent woman, baby. Okay. So I'm like, dude. Okay, honey. I know my body. I'm good. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm like, really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
He tells my armor bearers, make sure when she get through preaching, she walks right out the sanctuary. Really? Mm-hmm. You know, he has private meetings with my people, with the ladies mm-hmm. that serve me. And he tells him what to do. I'm like, really? Who does that? But mm-hmm. I know because he loves me. Mm-hmm. I don't hate on me. I know he loves me. But my point of saying all mm-hmm. that is this. Even in being married, you still have those struggles. You still have those challenges where mm-hmm. you want to be you. And you don't want nobody to tell mm-hmm. you anything. So if you're married and you're dating someone that's unchristian, I don't want to go in that discussion question right now, but I'm being honest with you. I minister, I counsel, I encourage, I mentor women that are married to unsaved husbands. Mm-hmm. The challenges mm-hmm. that they're facing is all because their mm-hmm. husband's not saved. And they're good guys. Mm-hmm. They're good guys. They go to work. They bring the bacon home. They do all that kind of stuff. But the other pieces that they're missing is because they're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they're not saved, the demands on that woman and the things that she's really want to pull for him, you think you just want a man, baby. If you're saved and you're living a saved life and you're living a holy life and you're living a life that's pleasing to God, you're going to want that same thing from your husband. And if he's not doing that now while you're dating him, babe, I'm being honest with you. I'm just, let me say this. You have mm-hmm. some women have been mm-hmm. able successfully get married to an unsaved man, and when they got mm-hmm. married, two down the road, then he gets saved and he takes off. But I'm being honest with you, that's far and few.
Right.
Because what happens is a lot of men and women, it's the same thing with the men, but women are more easy to mm-hmm. convert to God than a man is. But a lot of times, mm-hmm. If you marry him that way, and even though he may give you an inkling or some type of indicator that he is going to get saved one day, when you marry him that day, you are actually saying, I take you the way you are.
Yeah.
And when you say that and you make that statement by marrying him while he's not saved, once he gets, because let me tell you something, sweetheart. First, the devil don't want you to get married. And if he do, and if he do allow you to get married, or he don't come against it, he definitely wants you to get married to somebody unsaved because he knows the challenges that you're going to make. I told my people yesterday, I said, honey, so look, you can't not play the devil game on his court and think you're going to win. No, you ain't hear what
mm-hmm.
I just said. You are not going to play the devil court game on his court and think you're going to win because
mm-hmm.
he got some hidden tricks that you have not one clue about. He knows things about each other, about us,
mm-hmm.
because he was there when
mm-hmm.
we got hurt. He was there when we got wounded. He was there when we was abandoned. He was there when we got rejected, not only just in your
mm-hmm.
life, but in that man's life too. So he knows if he's addicted to pornography. He knows that if he got some kind of perversion, something going on. He already know that. So he don't mind you hooking up with somebody that's unsaved. Yeah, get married. Go
mm-hmm.
ahead and get married. Ooh, that's a good thing. Get married to somebody unsaved. Because he knows.
Mm-hmm.
I got you, sis. He knows
mm-hmm.
that the struggles that you're going to face. Listen, single
mm-hmm.
women. I know some of you, they jumped on lines. Oh, Lord, this is a lot of calls tonight. Some of you are saying to yourself, well, I'm already dating. He's a good guy. I'm not. I would not be the one to tell you to stop dating your boyfriend. I'm not going to be the one. But what we want to do is provoke you to think. We want to provoke you
Thank
to think.
You.
And you need to think about, and see, the other thing is, I don't care how much tools we give you, how much advice we give you, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
you still have to be the one to walk this thing out. our job today and what I would, my desire today is to get you to start thinking. Thinking outside of today.
Yes.
Think outside today with your boyfriend.
Think about
because
the future.
Yes. Think about your future. Now, you, some of you already know some women that are saved, married, and their husband is not saved. And you already see what they're going through. And you may, and that may be good for you. If that's what you want, then that's not a question for you. But I don't I don't believe that. Because especially when I'm a minister and I mentor and I counsel women all the time about this very thing, and they were like, I don't know why he not getting it. We've been married 10 years, and he's still not getting it. He's going to the clubs. He's going here. Here I'm going to revivals. He's going to the clubs. He's going here. But yes, he bring his whole paycheck home. He take care of his children, all that. But the other life he has, it's something totally different.
Yeah.
So Evangelist Houston, with all that I just said and with all that what you just said, what are some of the dangers that women face, a Christian woman face, when they dating, not married, but dating an unsaved man? What are the dangers that they have?
There are so many gateways, that you open yourself up to. You allow different spirits to enter in. Because, see, that unequally yoked, that attachment, those soul ties. And as you were talking, I could hear in the spirit someone saying, but he's so good to me. He make me feel so good. And he just give me everything. I'm not letting my boo go. Well, you hold right on to your boo. Like you said, we cannot make you. But here's some nuggets that help you to think about tomorrow. And some of you all want father figures for your children, but you want a godly man, but you can't compromise. You got to wait on the Lord. You face so much endangerment because you got this person around your children even, and he's playing daddy, playing for a while, and you're compromising yourself playing wife. And so now you done broke yourself from the ark of safety under the ark of covenant with God. So you let so many different objects and spirits get in and attach themselves. And before you know it, you are in a backsliding state.
Yeah.
And then also know that the enemy, like the word says, the enemy, Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. And
that's
the
right.
word says to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you got to learn to think spiritual here. Because, see, what, this is what I believe, Pastor Teresa. Most believers fail to realize we are in a spiritual warfare. This is war.
Oh, yes. Oh, my. Yes,
they fail to realize that. They think everything is just cool, calm, collect, you know, I cook for him, he does this, we do this and that. But you got to be wise of the, like the word says, be vigilant and sober for your adversary, the devil.
Right.
I'm going to put it just like that, not the enemy. See, whom he may devour. He's going to and from. He's trying to devour you little by little, my sister. Be not deceived. Okay, yes, he does you good and fine, but how about keeping and dating with some boundaries to not have yourself so open up to him? You see what I'm saying? How about developing a friendship and invite him to church? And then if he keep pushing back on church, you need to make a decision. Say, well, he's not the one for me because, you know what, I've been through this before. I've been tricked before. I've been this before. I can't afford to go through devastation of losing my mind almost, losing myself in him. See, one thing about women, we get so emotionally attached, and we'll lose ourselves into an individual till we almost make that man our God. And then we get into idolatry now. Because I don't want to be alone, and I've been alone for such and such state. But see, you walk in dangerous territories because the enemy puts snares and traps out there to trip you and to trick
right.
you, to make
right.
you see something with your natural eyes when you don't really see your spiritual eye. Because guess what? He comes to distract you, to get you off sight. Distract.
That's right. That's right.
So he
That's
don't
right.
want
right.
you to be on the purpose, plan, and assignment that God has ordained for you. I can remember our bishop says, when the devil gets ready to curse your life, he brings someone into your life. And when God
right.
gets ready to bless your life, he brings someone into your life. You got to know how to decipher between the two, woman of God. Is this
mm-hmm.
God? Because when God brings someone to your life, woman of God, he adds to it. When the devil brings someone to your life, it subtracts from your life. It takes away.
Absolutely.
So if
Absolutely.
Someone's coming in your life and taking away your prayer time, your meditation, your devotional time, I'm hearing somebody needs to get in their word anyway because you're too caught up into your flesh. See, we
yeah.
get caught up into the world. The Bible say, learn the ways. Learn not the ways of the heathen. But we'll go get the tattoos, the earrings, the nails, the we're all trying to attract some kind of man. Well, you need
yeah.
to be hidden, woman of God. You need to
yeah.
be hidden. I'm right
yeah.
there where Pastor Teresa said with the singleness. I'm good. I've been married. It's all about me and Jesus and my son, okay? Go ahead,
Pat. Okay. You funny. You talking about, okay. Well, the thing about it is, too, and I want to be very sensitive because I hear you in the spirit, women. I hear you, woman of God. I hear what you're saying, Pastor Teresa. I hear what you're saying, Evangelist, but
yeah.
this thing is hard. Being by myself, I just want someone. But the thing about it is, you just don't want to want someone. You want someone that's going in the same direction that you're going into. When my daughter was, my oldest daughter, she's married. She's been married going on 5 years. And when she got, we didn't allow our children to date. They couldn't even, you couldn't even have boyfriends, boys call your cell phone. You didn't get a cell phone until you got 16 years old. That's a whole other story. And I know that's, I heard you. 16? Mm-hmm. yeah, you couldn't get a cell phone. You got 16, and you had to have a summer job coming up, or in that summer job that summer when you were 16,
mm-hmm.
because you got to have some type of responsibility. But that's a whole other story. That's parenting. That's going to be Mother's
right.
Monday. But my point is, when she got 18 years old, I kept saying, there was boys that she liked. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. There was boys that she liked in school, and she would say, Mama, can I talk to this boy in school? And he's not my boyfriend, nothing like that. We just want to talk. I said, no, ma'am, you can't. Why, Mama, everybody else? I'm not everybody, Mom. I'm your mother. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her why. I said, Tiffany, I need you to be focused. I need you not to be out in tune with boys. Now, you can do it without my permission. There's going to be consequences for that. But I'm not giving you my permission. So if I don't give you my permission, just like God don't give us permission to do certain things, we're looking for consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can make nobody do nothing. But I will tell you, there will be consequences if you do that. I say, I don't want you to experience your heart broken and stuff like that. You don't understand that kind of stuff. You don't need to experience that as a teenager. I'm sorry. But anyway, make a long story short of all that. So when she did get 18 years old, she didn't want to date. She didn't want to date. I said, well, Tim, you're 18, baby. You're 18, girl. And so I think she was around 19 years old. This young man tried to, date her, our former ministry. When he came to my husband, he said he really liked Tiff and stuff like that. I looked at him one time, and I knew he wasn't one. I said, because I taught my children, you date for marriage. You don't date to be getting to know nobody. You date for marriage. So
you
need to understand. If you got a personal relationship with God, hear this, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to check me.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a personal, intimate relationship with God, God will tell you if that's the one. He won't let you waste your time, boo-boo. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. So I told my daughter, I said, okay. I said, Tiff, now you reading your word? Yeah, I'm not all like I should, but I'm doing it. I said, okay. I said, well, the rule is if you're 18 years old, you graduate from school, you did what you need to do, you got your summer, you got your job, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I said, now, what's up with the dude? What's up with old boy? So he came, asked my husband, can he date? They went on one date.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked mostly on the phone. And I you know, I try to make sure I'm not trying to be controlling, but I went to my daughter, I said, Tiffany, I just want you to know he ain't the one, sweetheart. I think it lasts maybe a month or two. And I think that's the most it lasts. Mm-hmm. And I said, you keep praying. He said, well, he's a good guy. I said, yeah, he's a nice looking young man. Matter of fact, he reminded me of her biological father. I said, yeah, I know that kind right there. Well, make a long story short. That ended. Tiffany didn't want to date nobody. She said, Mama, I'm going to wait, blah, 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 da, da, da. My daughter was a virgin, you know, and she waited. And then when my son-in-law came along, everybody in the family knew it was him but her. Everybody in the family, wow. Grandmamas, mamas, everybody knew he was the one. And he kept, but what I loved about my daughter, she said, even though we were trying to convince, I said, that's who your husband is right there. I knew that was him. I knew it was him. I prayed for it. I said, that is my son-in-law. I saw him as my daughter's husband. My daughter was like, no, I don't see that. I'm like, okay. I said, I left it in God's hand. And make a long story short, they end up getting married. They wow. A wonderful marriage. They got their first child, been married going on 5 years, and blossom, all that good stuff there. Here's my point. I coach my daughter, I monitor my daughter, even though it was very hard, even in the midst of being even in church, because even other church leaders was allowing the young people to date, and so, of course, she was the oddball, and you know, and they were like, that don't make sense, y'all too strict, y'all too this, y'all da-da-da-da-da, and I'm being honest with you, I'm just being very honest and frank with you, but at the end of the day, she was the one that got married as a virgin. She didn't have no children. She didn't get this. She didn't go to that because we coached her through it. We didn't just brought her down her throat. We coached her through it, and she understood it at a certain age, and I understood that. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying this to you. If you have standards, if you don't have no standards in God, I'm not just talking about earthly standards. I'm talking about biblical principle standards that you're living by. You should your boyfriend, your mama, your sister, your daddy, everybody would know them. And some people won't even approach you because you look like you got standards. But when you carry the spirit that does not say I have standards, I have a personal relationship with God, you gonna fly. Anything gonna fly to you. Now I'm not saying because. Unsaved men love saved women, and there's a reason why they love saved women.
Yes.
I'm telling you, they sit back and talk about saved women like dogs. Because they say, man, if you want a freak, I'm being honest with you, you want a freak, go to the church. Why is they saying that? Because we don't have a compromise. We compromise who we are, and they say, go to the church, because if you want a good freak, go to the church. That should not be said about Christian women. But that's what's being said. So I said that to say, so we're talking about what is the dangers that you face by dating a Christian man. I just dropped somebody. Somebody just dropped off. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, boy. So what is the danger? What is the danger of you dating an unsaved husband, an unsaved man? Mm-hmm. The danger is the temptation is going to be most greater. The temptation is going to be much greater. And then when it comes down to when the pressure is on, when the temptation is there, he ain't going to come in agreement with prayer about you sustaining yourself. He ain't going to do that. He's going to be all open. And the other thing is the other, like she said, what kind of conversation can you really truly have with someone that's unsaved? You know, and then I'm not saying your whole conversation gonna be holy, holy. Oh yeah, I went to church today, and God pastor did this, and you know the spirit of the Lord. I woke up and had a vision, dream. I'm not saying that's gonna be your whole conversation all the time, but what I'm saying is when it's time to talk about your Christian walk, when it's time to talk about biblical standards, when it's time to talk about the power of God. How he's going to understand that when that's not the lingo and that is not the direction he's going into? And then you're going to find yourself compromising, and then you're not going to be able to have that godly conversation because he's not godly. It's going to be impossible. And I know some of you may say, well, I'm already dating. Good. Okay. You good. All right. Let's go into our discussion because we don't have – let's go into our discussion. So the first question we have on the discussion board – does the Bible truly say about Christian dating or marry unchristians? And so I want to go ahead and start it off before you jump in, sis. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lunacy? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? In other words, the Bible is telling you, if you're light, what relationship you should have with darkness? We have no relationship. What partnership should righteousness should have with sin? And so, no, it doesn't say, it don't say married here, but the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't be entangled with. Don't come into covenant with someone that is unbeliever. What is an unbeliever? An unbeliever is a person that's not saved, a person that has not professed Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's going to be hard for you, woman of God. I know it's a hard thing. I don't want to be insensitive at all, but I'm telling you, because if you don't get this, how's your children going to get this? You ain't gonna be able to tell your children don't have unequally friends when your mama can't. Mama is accepting anything in her life. It's going to be hard for you to be that example for your child to see how to have standards and stick with their standards when their mom is not sticking with the standards that the very thing that you go to church every Wednesday and every Sunday and read. We can't pull out certain scriptures to fit our situation because we want this relationship. And then I can truly say this before you jump in, Evangelist. I can truly say this when me and my husband got together. I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. We failed. We actually did fall before we got married. And that devastated me. Oh, my God. And guess what? I went in the door knowing what I was about to do. And I think that's what devastated me the most. But I thank God, because he was saved, I need you to check this. Because he was saved and because he was going the same direction I was going, he felt bad just as much as I did. And because we both was feeling, walking in that guilt, and at some point it was condemnation. He said, there's no way I can do this. I can't do this. I feel like I sinned. I feel like I killed somebody. And so it was hard to come back together and sin again because we both was in agreement where we were sinning. So the temptation was there. Yes, it was. And he was saved. But it was not as great as if it was being with an unbeliever, because now I got a partner. I have a man, and I knew he was my husband. He already knew I was his wife. And he said, I can't do it. And guess what? Guess who he went and confessed it to? My former pastor. So he didn't try to keep it a secret. And I wanted to beat him up because I wanted to go tell him first. Because I didn't want him to look at me different. You know how girls is with their daddy. Daddy don't look at me different. He made me. He should have put it. I ain't gonna go there. I ain't gonna mess with y'all like that. But anyway, my point is, because we was in the same, even though I was more mature than him, in spiritual level, but because he was so in tune with God, and because that's what he was seeking after, and we failed. It was no doubt. I mean, literally, I cannot tell you. We both fell. I mean, we didn't want to call each other the next day. I didn't want to call him, and he better not call me. I'm like, oh, my God, I felt like I killed somebody. And he called me. He said, we can't do this again. Lord, he said, I feel like I killed somebody. I feel like God himself came down here, and much as I don't care how excited it was, when it was over, the guilt came. The shame came.
That's right.
The conviction came, and it came real strong. And it didn't come just on me. It came on him. So it made it more easier. So when we was around each other and that feeling came, he said, I got to go. I got to go. I got to get up out of here. Because we didn't want to experience that again. Then we made ourselves accountable to somebody. We let them know when we was going out. We let them know where we was going. We texted them when we was on our way back.
That's good. Because
we didn't want that to happen again. But you think an unsaved man going to do that? No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
He going to be like, hey, boy, I'm my own man, baby. I don't need nobody to chaperone me. But if you're trying to keep it, you notice your husband, and that man notice your wife, I want to keep this. I want to go into our marriage sacred, you know. And then my former pastor told me this, and he did not lie. He said, He said, I just want you to know that I don't know what the consequence is going to be. For y'all, because y'all knew y'all was husband wife, but y'all went before time. I don't know what your consequence is going to be when y'all do get married. And I promise you, Evangelist, when we got married, we couldn't even enjoy each other the first 3 months. I promise you, it was weird.
Wow.
I felt like I was sinning. I'm so serious.
Mm.
I was like, oh, my God.
My
and
God.
I called my husband. I called my I called my former pastor, and I said, Pastor, why I'm feeling this way? He said, you remember I told you there's going to be consequences?
Oh,
that may be
God.
Your consequence. But it only lasts 3 months.
And
I didn't know how long
it's
going to last. When it was over, I was thinking, Jesus. I was thinking,
true.
Jesus, it was over. Because I was like, wow, mm-hmm. I literally was feeling ashamed. I literally would get up and like, oh, Lord, like I'm married now, and I'm feeling like I'm sinning. Because I tapped that before it's time. So I'm saying to you, there is consequences when we sin before God.
Yeah.
It is. Even when we repent before him, there is consequences. Because when you know what's right and you do wrong, there's something you got to pay. So that is the word of the Lord says. He said, don't be unequal to yoke with unbeliever, with unbeliever. Don't have a partnership with righteousness.
Yes.
What partnership has righteousness with sin? And then what what fellowship with light with darkness? Do you have something evangelist with that?
Yes. The Lord definitely wants us as his children of light to be separated from the unclean things. Remember, this well, the separation come from back in the Old Testament when God did not want his people to be ensnared with impurities and surrounding the other people. You notice when they went into certain lands, he would tell them, don't take a wife out of this land. Don't go to whoring in this land, because he didn't want them impurities to get infiltrated in their spirit, because he had them clean them up. So, like Paul told the people, don't go get back entangled with the yoke of bondage, you know, that you were set free from.
Yes.
God has delivered us out of fornication and adultery. We should not be going back getting entangled because I've been single too long. So you think, the Bible says one day there's 1,000 years in the presence of the Lord. You think, because the enemy's trying to rush you, I hear it in the spirit, somebody's in a rush because they think they're getting older, and I want to be married, and I want companion, and I want this and that. But you got to get out of what I want, and say, Lord, let thy good and perfect will be done in my life. Because guess what? You get under false pretense in those relationships, because that individual, his whole demeanor and concept of a relationship might not be like yours. There may be some default in there with the intentions of not to marry you, just to get what he wants for a season. So you got to be careful and mindful, women of God. Use the wisdom of God. Stay in prayer. Stay before God. Whatever you hear the first time, go with that, because most likely that's just what it is. I've learned that, and I learned that the hard way. And we've been like, something told me, my mind told me. No, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you. The Holy Spirit was trying to warn you and to send you that warning and hoping you would back hold to it and take heed of it. The Bible clearly states for us to never marry a non-Christian. It clearly states that. Why? Why does the Bible actually state that? Because what do you have in common? You don't have the Bible in common, and pretty much it becomes an idol in your life, that individual. So you got to keep your eyes on God, because somebody's coming to take the place of God all the time, whether it's TV, whether it's what's going on in the world, advertisement. Someone's always trying to take his place in the forefront of our life. So when that was good what you said, Pastor Teresa, about the conviction. That's real good, because that let me know that, from what I heard, that you love God more than you love those couple of minutes of pleasure. My relationship with God is more important than being about on top of me or down on the bottom of me. Come on, for 5-10 minutes. Okay, this is where you all got to get this little thrill out of your, you know, out of your pants. I'm so hot and can't contain. Come on. Yes, you can. You can be kept if you want to be kept.
You can.
So
you can't be kept. Listen,
you
got
to get to the point where you got to lead by example, and you shouldn't be having men in your house at a certain time at night with your children anyway. Your children don't need to see everybody who you're talking to, neither single women.
Yeah,
if
and we're going
to
talk
to somebody, you're thinking about dating, go date him at the coffee shop.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, that's going to be our segment, How to Date While You're a Christian. That's going to be our whole segment. But I want to say this. Ephesians says this. Ephesians, I want you to catch this. Catch this. I want to see, can you catch this? I want to see, do you catch it yourself?
Yes.
Ephesians 5:25 says this. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So if you're dating a non-Christian, you get married to a non-Christian, how is he is going to love you as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, and he's not a Christian? This is going to be very foreign to him. He's not going to understand that concept.
Mm-mm.
He may be able to quote it, but live it is something totally different.
Come on.
Because if God gives us, see, the world has adopted marriage. God instituted marriage. That it come from the world. And see, now what we're doing, I need you to check me, what we're doing as Christians, we're going to the world and adopting their concept of how marriage is supposed to be when they are not one that instituted it. So it is like that with a lot of stuff. It's a lot, even with sex. God made sex. Yes, sex is something that God created. He told us, be fruitful and multiply. How can we do that? We got to have sex. So that's why I understand what you're talking about, same-sex marriage. I don't understand that. Because if God said, be fruitful and multiply, hello, somebody. He made Adam and Eve.
Marriage
is for a man
and a woman, not two men. That's right.
Absolutely. That's a whole other subject by itself. But ladies, listen to this. What husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. There's no way, sweetheart. Yes, he may treat you sweetheart. I'm married. I'm going to be honest and very transparent. When me and my husband got married, the first 5 years of our marriage, it was like the first 4 years of our marriage, it was a struggle. You know what kept us? Because we were saved. I could not imagine being married to an unsaved man going through the things that we went through, because he would have handled things carnal. He would not handle the things in the way of God. We wouldn't have came together and prayed. We wouldn't have came together and fast. Mm. How are you going to do that? When it's time to go fasting, there's times I came home and my husband was laid out prostrate before the Lord, you know, with the prayer shawl, and he didn't know I was coming home at a certain time. And I'm talking about, I wouldn't want to get that from an unsaved man. So he was going strong after God just as much as I was. But I'm telling you, as a marriage, you're not going to be able to do this thing by yourself. And you're talking about, I just pray. You know, he needs to pull his way too. I'm being honest with you. And just because I see a lot of women go through it, and I'm even women that's pastoring and preaching and stuff, I'm like, wow, I don't see how they do it. And then, you know, they preaching and teaching. And don't get me wrong, please don't give me no phone calls. I'm just stating the facts. I'm just saying, I'm not calling no names out or nothing like that. But what I'm saying is that I can just imagine what they're going through when you're trying to be used by God, but then your husband is literally, you know, I'm going to the football game or I'm going to the club. Or, you know, that's you. That's your relationship. They got nothing to do with me. Because I'm telling you, me and my husband, we got a better relationship, a much stronger relationship, you know, because we both are saved, and we could talk about the things of God. We could talk about ministry together. We could talk about how we're going to minister to our children together versus me ministering the word, and he want to give him some street stuff. And then we don't do practical wisdom. We do practical wisdom. But however, when you come together and you're saved, I promise it makes a better of a difference. Not to say that you won't go through, because you will go through, but it's going to be how you go through if you marry to the right person, if you marry to a Christian. Now, some of you, I just heard somebody say, well, Pastor Teresa, my boyfriend is saved, and we don't slip. Okay, where you are, both of you guys, where you are in your relationship with God, so you keep slipping, something wrong with that picture. Nobody's getting convicted. Nobody really feel like they something really wrong with that. There's something wrong with that if you're not getting convicted, and then you feel that good to go back to the bedroom after 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. It's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. That means something's shaking.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go back and revisit mm-hmm. your relationship with God. He needs to go back
mm-hmm.
and revisit. You're not going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Let's go discussion.
That,
we got two more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The next question is, what should a woman do when there's no Christian men available? What should a woman do when there's no men, Christian men available? I'm going to say this before you jump in, and we're going to have to make this quick. Wait on God. Because let me tell you something. I said this before in another segment. If we believe God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-merciful,
mm-hmm.
all-graceful,
mm-hmm.
and do anything mm-hmm. to fail, really seriously think if your husband was ready for you, that a city,
mm-hmm.
a state, a church, a woman,
God
can't not get that person to you, I really think that we underestimate the power of God because we don't see, because we're so busy looking at our time clock and not looking at the time
mm-hmm.
clock of God, because there's no time. God
mm-hmm.
is time. And so I said that to you, woman of God, my sisters, my
mm-hmm.
sisters, that, yes, it may seem like that there's a shortage of Christian men. It may seem like. But I'm a living witness. I'm going to tell you, I'm a living witness that my husband was in the club while I was saved, and I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But when God
mm-hmm.
saw fit, he got
mm-hmm.
he went on the dance floor, told him, and this is his own testimony, because I didn't know him at the time. He wasn't even saved at the time. He wasn't even at my former church at the time. And he was on the
mm-hmm.
dance floor, and he said he heard a voice told him to leave now. He left. Went home.
Oh my God.
He went the next day. He was trying to holler at some chick at the somewhere. A lady, some chick. He was somewhere. He was at, and he was trying to holler at her. He gave her a phone number. They called each other, and all she told him about God. He hung up the phone. That night, he was watching TVN. The man was talking to him, just ministering, and he said, he had a beer can in his hand. This is his own testimony. And he said he heard the man say, I'm talking to you that's sitting on your bed with that beer can in your hand. He said he knew it was time. He got saved. I'm still at church. I was armor bearing. I was ministering. I was preaching. Did not know my husband was finna come.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a clue.
Uh-huh. My God.
And while I'm doing the things of the God, and living holy,
mm-hmm.
he was saving my husband.
Yes.
Come on here, somebody.
Yes.
He was saving my husband, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know he was exist. I didn't know he was coming. I did not know God was. He said, I know the power of God. If you live right
mm-hmm.
and you be patient and you seek the hand of God and you do what
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to do and you live upright before the Lord, God said, okay, now
mm-hmm.
she's ready. Let me go get him.
Yes. Come
and,
on. That's it.
On the dance floor, heard a voice, told him to leave, start his process.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks later, he got saved. He was saved 2 weeks. He was trying to find a church home. He was coming
mm-hmm.
from Bay Meadow, came on straight up Eddie, and he said he heard a voice say, look to the left. He saw the church that I was came into the building. It was on a Wednesday night. Came into the building. I remember like yesterday, because on Wednesday night it's a more smaller crowd, and I remember
mm-hmm.
this man coming on in out there. Nobody was visiting; it was all family. He came in, sat on the back row. One of the brothers went and sat by him. I remember this like yesterday. This was over 15 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
My God!
And I remember that same night. I remember saying, because most of the men came to the church, they wore like dress pants. I said, why he got jeans on? I didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
joined the church that night. He came up. He said, I'm already saved. I've been saved for 2 weeks. I just need a church home. He came up and gave his membership there, and all the brothers came and greet him and stuff like that. That Sunday, that was a Wednesday, came down Sunday, a sister came to me and said, hey, your brother joined the church Wednesday. I said, no, my brother in prison. My brother ain't joined no church here. People was talking about how we looked alike before we even knew each other. And a month later, my former pastor came to me and asked me, I was a community director, asked me to get all the new members, he was in new members class, all the new members a part of a community project. This is how our relationship started. I was not thinking about that. I wasn't thinking about that. I just did what my pastor said. And then when I gave my business card for each member, new members, he was one of them. He called me at my job, asked the question about the community project. It went from there to he said, can I call you? And I was questioning. I said, baby, why you want to call me? Baby, this is strictly about ministry. He said, that's what I'm talking about. I just need another person that I know at the ministry and talk to. And it started from there. Did not see him like that. Ministered to him. We stay friends. And all of a sudden, within a month or two, I start feeling stuff. I said, what the world? Oh, no. He wear jeans. And he say, what's up? I can't do that. But that, I ain't going to go into that testimony about that. But my point, did you see the steps?
Okay.
Did you see, did you hear how I was focused on God? And that's what I'm trying to give you, to get you to believe and understand, women of God, that if your life is pleasing to him, I promise you, no jailhouse, nobody can stop when your time comes for God to bring your man of God right direct where you are. Nobody can stop that. But you got to make sure not being desperate. You got to make sure that you God knows, can he trust you? Can he trust you to have patience with the process? Can he trust you that you're not going to just because your time box, you feel like you running out of time? Can he trust you? I wasn't perfect, but I sure was striving for perfection. And a man was not on my knees, I promise you. It was that thing. And when that man of God, I promise you, when that man of God asked him to marry him, I literally, when he proposed to me, I ran out my front door because we wasn't even dating. We was dating. We dated, gay, and got engaged and got married all in 6 months. But I knew it was God. I knew it was God. I didn't want to be God. I wanted to say no. I really wanted to say no because he didn't meet, at that time, not now, but at that time, he didn't meet what I wanted. I wanted to marry the other person who actually married him. He was 6'2". He was already pastoring. I said, see, we could do ministry together. And check this out. He was already pastoring, so he was saved. But God didn't say it was him. And I knew it. I was going based on what I thought it looks like. So what I'm saying, woman of God, and I know I spent a lot of time on that, but I just wanted to give you that nugget.
You got to
trust the power of God. God, nobody can keep what's yours from you, including you. That means you got to make sure that you're living upright. We always say this all the time. God know our heart. Yes, and you're right. And he knows when you're ready. And when you're ready, he's going to bring him right directly to you. You ain't going to have to go look for him. The Bible says a man that findeth a wife, find a what? Good thing. Let's go. And we're going to have to skip that one, Boo. You have to skip that one because I took a lot of time on that. So the last question is, what if I can win him to get saved after we get married? What if? You know, what if I just go ahead and date him? He's a good guy. I truly, you know, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Teresa. I hear what you're saying, Evangelist Houston, but I'm going to go ahead and marry him anyway. What if I could just get him saved after we get married? What do you say about the evangelist?
Wow. You can't get him saved. The Bible says one planet, another one waters, but it is God that giveth the increase. So what you can do is encourage him. But that's far few in between, because if he didn't get saved while you were dating, a lot of times they get comfortable with saying, well, you know, Adam bought the cow, you know, why do I got to do all this? We married now. I ain't got to say you married me like this. You knew I was like this when you married me. So you can try and win him with your chase conversation. But that's really dangerous to do, to go ahead and marry and he's not saved. That's not a good thing to do. That's dangerous territory. You're gambling with your life, because if God is increasing and blessing your life and calling you to go to new places and new dimensions in him, this man is not going to be able to understand and, you know, carry you in prayer because he don't have that prayer life. And the last thing
yeah.
that you're going to want is a man that cannot catch you in the spirit. That's
yeah.
the last
yeah.
thing you're going to want in your life because you don't know everything that God has planned for you neither. And some things
right.
are get aborted in God because you have compromised and settled over here. Trust me, I know, because I married someone that 10, they had a heartbeat after God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard God tell me, I didn't tell you to marry him no way. That was you.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yeah.
wailed before the Lord about that thing. That hurted me dearly. And I had
yeah.
apologized unto the Lord and asked the Lord to bless the man. But it seemed like the more I prayed, the more the opposition came. And then when I went to God about the divorce, you know, about pursuing and everything, like David did with the children in Ziklag, God said, God brought back to my remember, I didn't tell you to marry him. No, that was my ticket out.
Yeah, yeah.
We were unequally yoked.
Yeah, that's
yes.
real. And, you know, Evangelist,
yes.
the sad thing about it, and just a real, and I'm going to try to make this quick,
mm-hmm.
my first marriage was just what you just said. And I think women, this is the reason why,
mm-hmm.
yes, this is what God led. God told me to do this. But one of the other that drew my passion to do this talk show was because I can't individually minister a lot of people at one time all the time because of my schedule and because of what I do. However, I said, okay, if I could get an airways, God said, use them in the airways and get them out, you know, the ones that want to, because this is not drawn to everybody. Everybody's not going to get on that. I realize everybody's not going to jump on. Yes, we get a good view when people call in and link in on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We get that.
Mm-hmm.
However, my point is that when I was 25 years old, I was thinking I was 25, 23 years old, I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that I knew of God, I wasn't living saved like I supposed to. I wasn't living that walk, but I ended up getting married to my addiction. I need you to catch that.
Mm-hmm.
I had an addiction,
uh-huh.
a perversion. I got married to my addiction, and I
mm-hmm.
never forget. I wasn't going to marry him. That my plan was never to marry him because I knew he was not
mm-hmm.
the one. I knew it. But I was afraid of him, so I get in a relationship with my addiction, and when it's time to break it off, I couldn't because he was very possessive and all the other kind of stuff there. And September the 16th, I'll never forget, he woke up in the middle of the morning and said, we going to get married today. I like, what? No, we ain't. And I was so afraid to tell him no because I didn't know what was going on. I'm telling you, I was young. I was I had a lot of things I did, but I was still young, tenderoni, did not really know much in certain situations. And make a long story short, I heard the Lord when I got to the man, when we went to the Just of Peace, I heard the Lord's voice and say, walk away now.
Right.
I allowed my physical fear, did not listen to the voice I heard. And I said, oh, God, I heard the Lord say, walk away now. I did not walk away. And I'm here to let you know, even though I made it and I survived it, that was one of the worst mistakes I ever could make. Not because it's only him, because if I was never involved with him and got married to him, then a lot of stuff that happened wouldn't have happened. I barely got out of the relationship with my life. And I heard the Lord say, once I had said I do, and I was crying so bad, and my ex-husband thought I was crying because I was happy. I was crying because I knew that was the worst decision I had made. And I heard God say, it's going to take me to get you out of this. I did not understand what he meant when he said that. Because when I tell you, it wasn't 3 days later from the time we got married, I went through so many stuff. I found out 3 baked women was pregnant at the same time. I got beat up. It's a whole lot, so I'm not going to go through all that. I went through so much stuff 3 days later.
And
I packed my bags. I got my children. Packed my bags. I don't care where I went. That brother found me, pulled me by my hair, and pulled me back to the house. And I heard voices. Yes, I told you, it's going to take me to get you out. I don't care what I did. I don't care who I called. I don't care who I ran after. I couldn't get out of that relationship. But one day, when I repented, I said, Lord, I repent before you now. And it was 3 years later. 3 years later is when God delivered me out of that marriage. I barely walked out. Now, I didn't like the way it happened. I need you to hear me, women of God. I didn't like the way God brought me out, because we normally don't like the way God brings us out of stuff. And I never forget, it was Sunday, we was in the living room, and I was asking for a divorce again, because I've been asking for a divorce for a while. I was asking for a divorce. We need to separate. And I never forget that night, he looked at me with these eyes, and I said, oh, my God, I knew I was up for something that night. Yes. And he picked me up over his and threw me against the wall. My oldest daughter came downstairs, and I did not know he was going to hit me with a flower pot until I heard my daughter say, no! And I turned and looked, because I was crying so bad. And I turned and looked, and I said, Tiffany, go back upstairs. No, Mama, no, Mama. I said, go back upstairs now. And one thing led to another. He pulled me upstairs. My baby girl was still asleep. It went one thing, another, and I tell you, I almost lost my life. I almost lost my life. Next thing I know, a Tech 9 was to my head. A Tech 9 was to my temple. I barely walked out. But I got to tell you this, women of God, even in the midst of me being disobeying God, God was still talking to me. 2 weeks prior to my ex-husband, that relationship did that. I went through that with that relationship. God told me to get a separate phone, put it in my daughter's Tiffany's room. Don't let nobody know about it. Tell Tiffany to only use that phone when I tell her to. Did not know that was going to be the phone that saved my life. Did not know it. So when he pulled me upstairs, and Tiffany would always be the one, because she's the oldest and she was the protective, and she always, if you don't go in there and say goodnight to her, she'll cry and she'll knock on the door all night long until you come and say something to her. I convinced him to let me go in her room and say something to her. And when I did, that was my opportunity to say, use the phone, call 911. I said, call 911. Listen to me, ladies. Listen to me, ladies. I told my daughter, call 911 if you hear me scream. If you hear me scream. I walked out the room. He came in the room and pulled me out. He said, come on, you don't talk enough. And I hope she remembered. If she was 9 years old, I hope she remembered what I said. I need you to hear me. I said, I hope she remembered what I said. I tried to buy myself some time and told him, let me go take a shower. And I went in the bathroom, I took a shower, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I knew this night was going to be different than any other night. And I said, Lord, I don't know what is going to happen, but God, I need you to protect me and my daughters. I came out the bathroom, went in the room. That relationship, the man was walking back and forth, kept pacing by this closet. I never went in that closet, never. Did not know what was in there. Yes, I was married that long and never been in his closet, because I had my own separate closet. I kept pacing the floor. He kept pacing the floor back and forth, looking at me, back and forth, looking at me, back and forth. I'm bleeding and everything, because I'm still bleeding from what he did to me downstairs. And next thing I know, he said, you're going to leave me, aren't you? You're going to leave me, aren't you? I said, just calm down, just calm down. Did not know what was in that closet. He went in that closet and pulled a Tech 9. He loaded up, wrapped around with a white towel, and brought it over to my temple. Now, remember, I told my daughter, if you hear me scream, call 911. I couldn't think straight. I didn't scream not one bit. But somehow, when that Tech 9 got to my temple and the gun jammed, my God. When he tried to reload it up, by the time he tried to reload it up, the police was all in the house.
Thank you, Jesus.
I couldn't understand how, and he was so mad. And he said, listen to this, ladies. He said, he was already premeditated this. He had already disconnected every phone in the house but the one, that one line, he didn't know nothing about. I need you to hear me. And that phone line that God told me to put in the house 2 weeks before was the phone line that God used that my daughter called. They got the telephone call. You can go downtown and pull the police records. It's downtown. And when I tell you, I'm a living witness if you obey God, even in the midst of when you disobey God. But I start obeying God. I try to start obeying God, and I did obey God when God told me to move and do this and do that. And I'm going to tell you this here. I said, Lord Jesus, I can't believe God. He saved my life. That day, from that day to this, when I hear the voice of God, I stopped questioning him. Now, I have made some mistakes along the way. I'm not going to say a lie about that. I have. But I would tell you this. I asked my daughter down the road, like months later, and I said, Tiffany, I never screamed. How did you know to call? And you know what she told me? Mom, I heard you screaming on the inside.
Ooh, glory.
So God was speaking to my daughter. I never lifted my voice. God loves us so much. And to hear you is a little bit of things to save our lives. I just tell you right now,
wonderful,
I don't know
Savior.
Why you're
on
this call. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. But I beg you to listen to the voice of God. Because if you listen to the voice of God, it will save your life. A lot of people going through the things they're going through because they're not listening to the voice of God. And I just learned by my own mistakes that when I start listening to the voice of God, I watch my life go from one place to another.
Yes.
And that's the reason why I make sure that you be in covenant with God. And whomever you get attached to, make sure they in covenant with God. Because you don't have to go through what we went through if you just listen to God.
Thank you.
Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to pray it out. Just listen to God. There's some things that you already see. There's some things that you already feel. Go what your gut is telling you. Don't go based on this flesh. Your flesh will lead you wrong. Don't go based on what's in your heart. Your heart is evil. That's what the Bible says.
Mm, yes.
And your heart is deceitful. Because by the time you go through all the time, because you went through all this stuff that you went through, your heart get tainted. So I say to you, if you got a relationship with God, and if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have that intimate relationship with God that you can don't and you don't know his voice, I pray that you get to know his voice. Because if you know his voice, it would not lead you wrong. You will know what's in front of you. You will know if that man is for you. You will know it.
Yes.
Because
he
will tell you. He will not allow you if you listen to him. Now, if you not listen to him, he will allow you to go do what you want to do.
Yes.
And I'm sorry I took up most of the time, but I had to tell you that because the Lord was telling me. Because a lot of times our decision will lead us to destruction and the destruction of your kids. And I'm not even going to talk about what my daughter went through because of their relationship. I'm not even going to talk about that. That we'll be here for another hour. But I just want you, beloved, our time is up. But I want you to listen, beloved. God is calling you to be a more closer relationship with him. That don't care who come in, who leave, that you will listen to his voice as a drop of a dime. The reason why we don't see miracles on the level that Africa and other out countries see it is because we don't make the sacrifices that we need in America to see the miracles that we need to see. The miracles still happening. We don't see them because we're not sacrificing. We're not living according to true biblical principles that God has ordained us to live by. We compromise our walk. We compromise our relationship. We do everything the world tells us to do. And whatever they suggest us to listen to watch on TV, we don't compromise. We don't make a covenant with our eyes that we don't sin against God. God is calling his church back to him. And he wants us to be in covenant with him. And that's the reason why that we see different things that's going on in the world today. I submit to you, my sisters, build a relationship with him. Let God know that you'll do anything for him, that you love him more than you love yourself, more than you love your children, more than you love anybody in this world. Because at the end of the day, when that man say dust to dust, where will you lift your eyes? Where will you lift your eyes?
future.
Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be moved by this fleshly stuff we got going on now. Don't be moved by that. Because that's temporal.
Mm-hmm.
That is not internal.
Yes.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Father, we thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for your grace.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for what you have done and what you already have done. We thank you right now, God, because we want to be pleasing in your sight, God. God, forgive us for every sin that we have committed. God, we ask you right now, come into our hearts and do surgery. Heal us from every unbrokenness, God. Heal us from every wound, every hurt, every pain, every rejection, every abandonment, God. Everything that's not like you, God, we give it to you. And we ask you to come on in. God, we submit our life to you, God. And we accept and we embrace your will for our lives. God, we may not like it, but we embrace it. We may not like what we go through, but we embrace your word. We embrace your will. Now, Father God, ask you right now, heal the land, God. God, we turn from our wicked ways that you can hear our prayer in the name of Jesus. And we pray for every caller, every woman that's tapping in on Facebook, every woman that's going to listen to the on-demand recording, God. We ask you right now, they will hear your voice in the midst of this recording. And we ask you right now, God, to touch them, God. Let them hear something precise that they'll know it's you in the name of Jesus, God. Touch their children, God. I pray right for every soul tied that needs to be broken. I pray for every relationship that needs to be broken that's not of you. I ask you right now to break it right now, God. But they will submit to your will even the more. We bless your name, God. We thank you for the woman of God that shared the space with me, God. Bless her ministry. Bless everything that her hands touch, God. Even bless her life, God. For she has submitted her life to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch her son. God, let him not like nothing in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. Yes. We give you honor for what you did on tonight. We thank you for every word that's been said, God, every testimony that has been shared, God, all your word and your wisdom, God. We ask you right now to have your divine way even after the show. We bless your holy name on tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor. And we thank you for what your healing power. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that shared on Calvary just for us. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woman of God, I thank God for you. I thank God for your life. I thank God for your testimony. I thank you for your ministry. For you pour out so much on every single Monday. I thank God for you. I pray, ladies, as you listen and you go back, please send that say that telephone number again, sis, that for the prayer that's scheduled Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 5:30. Did you say 5:30 to 6:30 or 6 o'clock?
5:30 a.m. to 6 a.m. It is 559-726-1300. The access code is 556-789-pound.
Amen. Amen. And I thank you guys. We're going to close
thank
out with the commercial. I need y'all to visit me on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com. There's some more information I would love to share with you. We have our new magazine out. My dear sister, she is doing she got an article in there. I need you guys to go and really go look on the website and get the more information. But I'm going to close out because our time is up. I thank you, and you always can come back and listen on demand. I pray that we said something that can help you, that will guide you on your way, and really get you a fresh start in Jesus' name. I'll see you next Monday.
Love you,
sis. Love you, too. Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire Magazine. Inspire Magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else.
Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you. You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at TeresaBurtonMinistry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.